Chet Alcoholic.
Chet.
Grateful to be here. Been very, very busy over the summer, and it just, like Ben said, it worked out that I was up here and he asked me to speak, and I'm grateful to do so, you know. I've been thinking about how I'm going to wrap up 5 years in 15 minutes, because there's been a lot of stuff happened in 5 years, you know, turning my life into complete 180 and then coming from such a sad, lonely, depressed state of mind to now a full free spirit, basically, you know, like freedom from the bondage of self and alcohol and drugs, you know. And can everyone hear me? Yeah? Okay. I got sober on September 12th of 2008. So I got 5 years about a month ago, a little bit more than a month ago. I got 5 years, and I'm 25 years old, so I haven't had a legal drink yet. And today I sit here, and I don't know why Alcoholics Anonymous worked for me. I've seen hundreds of people come in and try to get it, and then I don't know if it was the willingness, if it was the depression, if I was beat by my disease, and I would have done anything to not feel the way I was feeling at the time. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
I love you. my drinking, I remember my first drink, and I was out in Milford, and I was with my cousin, and we drank like a half a gallon of Bacardi rum, and, next thing I know, I'm chasing bunnies naked with a shirt around my head with a golf club, and he's in his truck, you know, and I'm like, holy shit, like, how'd I just get naked, and why am I chasing rabbits, you know? And, I remember waking up the next day and never wanting to drink again because I felt like I just wanted to puke, and I didn't really want to drink, but, I don't think I drank for, like, another year, and, people, I hear a lot in Alcoholics Anonymous how, like, their first drink was, like, this, you know, this God experience, like, it opened up their whole world, and I started drinking at 16 years old, and for, like, my personal experiences, it wasn't, like, a whole different element. It was, like, I felt like I fit in life, my whole life. I never felt like I was outcast or anything like that. I always felt like I fit in, and drinking was just something I did to keep doing what I was doing. It was just me is what it felt like, you know? And drinking started off fun. I did a lot of cool parties. I grew up in Heber City. It's a small town right by here, and we'd go out in the woods and party, or else we'd come to Salt Lake and party, whatever. And partying was fun, and I really had a good time. And honestly, like, if everything didn't turn on me and I could still drink and have fun, you know, I doubt I'd be here if I could still drink and have a good time. But my problem is that the drinking and the drugs, like, turned on me and they didn't work anymore. And no matter how much I put in my system, no matter how much I drank, no matter how much I drugged, like, I still, like, felt shitty inside, and I still felt paranoid, and I didn't know what was wrong with me, you know. And but I had a lot of good years, you know. Alcohol, it took that edge off, and for a while it was able to make me free. It allowed me to do whatever I wanted to do without worrying what anyone else was thinking, you know. I could dance really good, whatever. I didn't really dance, but I was smooth with the ladies. I could, you know, house parties, I was just killing it, you know. I knew how to talk to the ladies, and I loved it, you know. And so drinking was good, and so a little history of my family is I grew up with three sisters and a mom. The dad wasn't around, so I had basically four moms, because the closest one to me is 9 years older than me. And so it was like four moms, and it was awesome. Like, I got whatever I wanted, you know. If my mom said no, I'd call my sister and ask her for the $50, and she'd say yes, you know. And my mom is an alcoholic. She has 25 years sober. She got sober right before I was born, basically. And I have a sister who is also an alcoholic, who got 9 years and relapsed and hasn't been able to make it back for 2 years. You know, she keeps coming to meetings and things like that. And she's just struggling, man. It's been cool for me to watch, because I saw her be able to get a successful life. You know, she held a job. She had good relationships with the family. She, you know, her life had changed 180 degrees. You know, she got that sober life that you want when you get in Alcoholics Anonymous, and she decided to drink again after 9 years, and she is completely back in her misery. Completely suicidal, ending up in hospitals, you know, right from the get-go. So that's proof to me that if I think that I'm going to be able to control this one day, there's no freaking way, man. It'll put me right back where I was. And so I'm grateful for that proof, but it's hard to watch someone like that go through that, you know? So, drinking, I don't know. I remember when I first came in and I could tell you all my drinking stories. You know, I had a lot of funny drinking stories and a lot of fun shit happened and parties were crazy. And I don't know, like, it never felt like I felt like I knew what not to do. Like, my mom was an Alcoholics Anonymous. I went to meetings with her, and I, you know, an alcoholic is someone that drinks every day and they drink alone. So I would make sure that I drank every other day with friends, you know? And, like, I thought that, like, I could manipulate this big book that she would always talk about, and I thought I could get over it and I could, you know, get the system down. You know, I wouldn't drink in the mornings. I wouldn't drink alone. I would drink with people, and it would be at nighttime, and it would be after work or whatever, and I became basically a weekend warrior, you know? And somewhere along the line, I started drinking on Tuesdays and weekends, and then it basically got to whatever day I wanted to, which happened to be every day at the end of it. You know, I was, the last year of my drinking, I was drunk every day for a whole year, you know? And it wasn't like I woke up one day and was like, I'm going to drink for a year. It started taking control of my body, and I didn't even notice it till I was too deep, you know? And I remember the last argument about my alcoholism with my mom, you know, and she's sitting there and she's like, Chet, you're either going to die or go crazy from this disease, you know, because she knows it very well. She has 25 years sober. She says, Chet, you're going to die or go crazy from this. And I looked her in the eye and said, well, then that's what I got to do. Like, get off my freaking back, let me drink, shut the hell up, and leave me the F alone. You know, like, that's what I got to do. And if that's what I need to do, you need to get off my back. And once I got sober, I kind of realized what that looked like from her eyes, you know, because I had always been selfish and I just wanted her off my back. But coming from her eyes, she just heard her son say that, like, he is going to have to die or go crazy in order to figure out his disease, you know, and coming from a mom, like, that probably tore her up, you know. drinking, I got to make this quick, not stay too much in the drinking, but basically drinking silently and subtly took over my life. You know, it's not like I planned on being an alcoholic. It's not like I planned on making bad decisions with my life. It's not like I woke up every morning and intentionally wanted to lose my truck or give my truck up or you know, not have trust for my family and disrespect them. And it slowly but surely just took everything I had in life. The only thing I had when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous was a bottle, basically, you know? So I came into Alcoholics Anonymous and you know, it's weird because I'd always gone to meetings with my mom, so I was talking about, I thought I knew what Alcoholics Anonymous was about. I thought I knew exactly what everyone was going to say. But this time was different because I was so desperate and I hurt so bad that I actually listened. You know, before it was like, okay, well, they drink every day, so I'm not going to do that. You know, and this time it was I actually listened to a person's whole story. And I did get sober once before, and it was for 30 days. I got 30 days, and then I was like, I'm not an alcoholic. I just got 30 days, you know, and I went out and I celebrated. And you know, it's like I kind of remember, like, I went out into the mountains with my friends, and he hands me a Bud Light Lime, and I, like, you know, it's like, okay, well, I got 30 days so I can party. And then I looked up and I was like, bring it on. You know, like, I kind of challenged God, like, because this was going to be my attempt to give my full willpower, everything I could to hold a job, to get money, to drink like a normal person, and to do everything that everyone wants me to do in life. And I was going to be able to drink like a gentleman, and I was going to be able to control my life, you know. I got this awesome job, and they paid me like $1,500 a week for like standing there handing him stuff while he's welding, you know. And I got this awesome job, and I'm trying to hold it, and, you know, I'm going to bed. And at this point, the thing I was justifying is that an alcoholic couldn't just have one beer, right? So I start this awesome job, and I'm like drinking this one beer, and I set it down, and I'm like, cool, I can do that, you know. And I'd go to bed, you know, with just leaving one beer out. And so I was like, I'm not an alcoholic. And I think I had this job like a month and a half, and by the end of this job, like, I was in his truck telling him to pull over because I got a puke. I'm puking on the job, and he's asking me if I'm all right, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm good, you know. And he's like, you just puke every day now, or what do? You know, like, you sure you're okay, you know? And he fired me shortly after, you know. And that's when I moved down to St. George, and I, uh, you know, I lost that job, and I felt very, like, devastated, because that was, like, my triumph. Like, I'm going to do this without anyone's help, you know? And when I failed at that, I felt like I didn't belong here anymore, which was in Hebron. I felt like I didn't belong there. I felt like people knew too much about me, you know? And so I moved to St. George, and I was going to clean up there. I went down there. I lived with my grandpa. I was going to clean up in St. George, but I found the same people very quick. I started drinking and partying very quick when I got down to St. George. And so long story short, that was miserable. I came into Alcoholics Anonymous and had incomprehensible demoralization. My whole life had been messed up, and there was no way that it could be alcoholism. There had to be something else, but I'm in a meeting because I realized that for that 1 hour I'm in a meeting, all those other problems out there shut up for a minute. You know, I realized that for that 1 hour in a meeting, I felt okay inside my skin. And every you know, the rest of the day, everyone I talked to, I felt like I was a disappointment. You know, I felt like everyone got a manual to life and I missed out. You know, I didn't know how to do this thing called life. And so that 1 hour in an AA meeting, I felt like the eyes weren't on me. No, there were no expectations of me, and I could listen to people who were starting to, that I was able to relate with, you know? And, man, I don't know. It's crazy. 'Cause it's like, honestly, from that day till today, like, I've just chased that 1 hour feeling. Like, I know that I felt so good for that 1 hour, and all my problems were completely vanished. And not only were they gone, but, like, I felt good inside. I could relate with you guys, and I knew, like, I got this hope. You know, I knew I could stay sober. I knew I could kind of do... I didn't know I could stay sober, but I liked what I heard, and I was going to keep coming back until I obtained what you guys said you had. I liked what you had. I liked the fact that you came from where I was and that you were content being sober now, you know? And I don't know, like, really the only... Like, I came in, and people were telling me to take suggestions, and I remember my first spiritual experience in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I'm sitting in a room, and all you guys are talking about these sponsors and these steps, and I'm just sitting in my chair like, man, like, I got to figure something out. Like, this isn't working, you know? Like, my life doesn't work. I got to figure something out. And you guys are, every day, you're saying, get a sponsor and do the steps. Get a sponsor and do the steps. You're saying this every day, and I'm sitting in my chair like, man, I got to do something, you know, like, just not hearing you guys or something. And this old guy gets up and walks out, and I finally heard it again, you know, get a sponsor. And this old guy gets up and walks out, and I'm like, this is it. And I went out, and I talked to him. And it was weird because it felt like I was asking another guy on a date, you know? It really did. It was like this 65-year-old guy, and I'm out there like, hey, what's up, you know? Like, how you doing tonight? You know? Like, dying inside but trying to play it cool, you know? And he was like 65. He was a hit. He had this long white beard and his scraggly bandana. And people are telling me to find someone that had what I want. And I'm looking at this guy like, he has nothing I want, but I just need to get out of my... I need to not feel this way anymore, you know? So I asked this guy to sponsor me, and he said, hell yeah. And like, in St. George, where I was going to meetings, there wasn't young people there at all. You know, it was all, like, older people. And so me and this new sponsor of mine, we hung out, like, every day for, like, 6 months. You know, we just hung out. We'd go over, do step work, play his Xbox. Like, he was kind of cool. He had an Xbox, and he was 65, and he liked to play, you know? And, he was, like, way cool. He had, in his backyard, he had, like, this 20 by 20 field of tobacco that he grew, and then he'd, like, dry it out and cut it up and smoke his own tobacco. I was like, that's kind of tight, you know? And he had, like, nothing I wanted physically, you know, but as I started working with this guy, like, I realized he was very peaceful inside, you know, like, the way I felt didn't influence him at all, and so I just kept working with him, and I realized at the end of the day, like, he was content with what he had, and that's really, at the end of the day, like, I just wanted to feel okay, you know, at the end of the day, I just wanted to be okay in my own skin, because I wasn't, so I worked the steps with this guy, you know, I remember also asking him when I first started the steps, I said, yo, I think I need crazy pills. Like, my mind is going 100 miles an hour. I need crazy pills, I think. You know, what do you think? he goes, I would suggest doing the 12 steps. I'm not a medical professional. If you feel like you need them, go get them. But I would suggest doing the steps and then doing that if you still feel you need to. So I took his advice once again, and I don't take crazy pills today, and I haven't taken crazy pills, you know, and I've never taken crazy pills, and I feel completely content in my own skin, you know, and then when it, at that point, I just remember, like, my mind racing 100 miles an hour. It was even like hard for me to talk to people because I was like just so tripped out of my own self, you know. And now I'm like just completely free, you know. And it's, there's no pills, there's no alcohol, there's nothing inducing that feeling, you know. So yeah, I got sober. Did all the steps with my sponsor to the best of my ability, you know, the best of my ability. It felt like the whole time I was doing the steps that I was doing something wrong. You know, it's like, man, I don't think I'm doing this right, but I'm doing it the best I can and as hard and as fast as I can. I want to get this cranked out because if you guys are telling me that when I'm done with these that my life's going to be better, I want to get it done quick. You know, I want to get it done quick and I want to get it done thorough. And I remember once I, sorry, backtrack a little bit. When I asked him to be my sponsor and I came back into the room, it felt like God had picked me up by the ass of the pants and threw me out the door to this guy, you know? And I realized that that was the first thing I had ever done in my own life that wasn't my idea. You know, it wasn't like I was sitting there like, hey, I should go guy, like get this guy to like coach my life. It was because you guys were telling me that I needed someone, you know? So I finally took your suggestion. And I took one of your ideas, and that was the first suggestion that I ever took from Alcoholics Anonymous. And it was crazy. I just came back in like, whoa, like that wasn't even me out there. You know, like how the hell did I end up out there? I have a sponsor now, you know. And that was the first spiritual experience, and I've had hundreds and hundreds since then. You know, they happen every so often. And there's even moments in life where it feels like they're not ever going to happen again. You know, I'll have a week where it's like, man, like, you got to make something happen quick, you know, like, because this isn't working out right now. You know, I need a reminder of why I'm here, you know, because I'm an alcoholic and I need, what I've done with Alcoholics Anonymous is I've replaced basically my drinking obsession with Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I need a spiritual experience that's going to be sufficient enough to do what alcohol did for me in the beginning. You know, I need that. If I don't have that in Alcoholics Anonymous, I probably won't. It won't be a substantial amount to keep me coming back. You know, I need that spiritual experience that gives me exactly what I wanted from alcohol. And that's exactly what sobriety has given me. You know, I remember when I was drinking and I wanted to talk well with the ladies and I wanted to feel okay at the end of the day with myself. And I wanted to be able to lay my head down on my pillow and just fall asleep, you know, and wake up in the morning and feel like I had something to do instead of sit there and think about how shitty my life is all day, you know. And I thought that drinking was going to end that kind of, I was very resentful at the fact that I was 20 years old and I couldn't have one more drop. I couldn't snort one more frickin' line, man. Like, you people that can do it for 40 years, like, holy shit. You know, for real, like, you guys are hard asses in my book. Cause I did 4 years and I was like, I'm out, man. You know, I'm out. And I can't imagine what 40 years is like, but I was very resentful because it was like people get 20, 30, 40 years of drinking and I get 4. Like, what kind of bullshit is this? You know, what kind of, I also remember thinking at the time that the party was over. You know, at 20 years old, I thought the party was over. I was like, I'm 20 years old and I got to come to the grasp right now that the party's over. I got to grow up, be a man. I can't ever drink. I can't ever drug because I suck at doing it. You know, like, I got to find some other shit, you know? Man, it's just crazy. It's so crazy because I felt like I was going to miss the party, for real. I thought that I was going to miss out on life, you know? And like, I didn't miss the party. I hit the party. You know, I hit the party. I have what I wanted from alcohol. I have, you know, I was talking to a newcomer the other day, and I have what I wanted from alcohol without the price of alcohol and drugs. I don't have to give my truck up. I don't have to give my mom's trust up. I don't have to hurt my family and friends at the expense of me having a good night, you know? I wake up and I don't feel regret about what I did the night before. How much time do I have?
Like 5 minutes.
5 minutes? Okay. It's so surreal. It's like, I remember what being high and drunk felt like and what it looked like, and it was fun. Like, I've heard people say that, like, my worst day sober is better than my best day drunk. Like, my best day drunk was really fun. You know, it was a really good time, and there were no worries in the world, and everything was solid. My homies had my back, you know. But it's what it is that in sobriety I've experienced a high that that sticks. You know, it sticks. I'm able to be held accountable for my options. I can show up to life. I feel content. I have pride. I have probably too much ego, you know. And I feel comfortable in life. And like I said, there's not a cost to that, you know. And it is. It's all due to Alcoholics Anonymous. I've seen, you know, I don't know. And I have 5 years. And in those 5 years, I've seen hundreds of people come in and go back out, you know. And, like, I just feel blessed. I feel lucky that I was hurting so bad that I would have done whatever it took to either feel better or, you know, because I remember at the beginning, my thoughts weren't, am I going to drink today or not? My thoughts were, am I going to find a way out of this world? You know, am I going to hide under a rock and die? Or am I going to feel better? You know, at any cost, am I going to feel better? And you know, they say don't quit before the miracle happens. And that's a continuous thing for me. You know, every time that life is hard and I complain and things aren't going my way and I'm irritated with people, places, and things, you know, still don't quit before the miracle, because when I find the blessing in that hard trial, like, my life multiplies by 10 and gets way better, you know. It's kind of hard to speak in 15 minutes because, like I said, there's a lot of stuff that's happened in 5 years, you know, a lot of stuff. And I could have spent another 10 or 20 years trying to control and enjoy my drinking, which is my great obsession. You know, control and enjoy my drinking is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. And I understood that if my drinking was under control, I didn't enjoy it. And if I enjoyed my drinking, it sure as shit was not under control. You know, like, those two things, I could never, like, find that center line, you know. Like, when someone would leave a half-open beer, I'd be like, why the hell did you just waste money? You know, like, that beer is still completely good, you know. And I don't know, we were reading the other day about, it's what it's done is, it's not like I haven't just quit drinking. I've experienced a complete, like, psychic change. You know, like, the way I think is not the same at all how I thought when I came in here. And, like, to explain that to a newcomer is kind of, like, confusing, because it's like, bro, if you stick around, like, your mind's just going to get fucked. You know, like, it's going to be crazy if you just stick around and you do these few simple suggestions. Like, I don't have the life that I wanted when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, but at the same time, like, I would have traded you my life for your dog shit, you know. Like, here, take what I got and I'll take this and we'll call it good, you know. And today it's like I'm so comfortable in my own skin, and it's like I want to install, like, this feeling that I have inside of me, inside of everyone. Like, I want to share it with you all, because it's so amazing, you know. It's so amazing that I can talk to my mom and we don't have to argue, you know, and that my girlfriends, like, like, all my exes, whatever, like, I can be very honest with them, and I don't have to cheat on them and then feel like shit the next day. Like, I'm honest with them, and I trust my higher power that he's going to take care of me, you know. Because I remember back when I was cheating on people and hurting people, it wasn't because I wanted to, it was because I was afraid that if I told you that I didn't want to be with you, that next girl wasn't going to show up, or that next thing wasn't going to show up. So I had to hold on to you until I was secure over here, you know. And man, it's just, it's crazy. It's things inside of that big book appear to me not every time I read it, but every couple months. You know, I was reading about how resentments are the number one offender. I was reading that chapter again the other day, and how it says if we want to live, like, long or happily, we had to be free of anger. Like, the grouch and the brainstorm are not for us, you know? And I remember when I, like, woke up to that, you know, like, the big book has always said it, but I'm, like, 3 years sober, and finally it pops out to me that, like, I'm an alcoholic. I don't have the ability or the right to be angry, no matter what the situation is, no matter how bad someone has hurt me. I can't, like, fester resentment. That resentment is going to kill me. And if I want to live longer happy, I have to find out not only how to accept this, but how to maneuver my life to accept it and move on with life. You know, man, I just wish I had, like, 3 hours. I really do. And I don't know, it's really the only things I've done right, or I got a sponsor, I did the steps, and I continue to carry the message with me wherever I go. You know, there's AA all over the world. And it's just crazy, man. Like I said, I feel lucky. Like, I left for the summer, and I have a lot of people I know that relapsed while I was gone. A lot of people, even some people that I thought weren't going to relapse, you know. And a lot of these people relapsed, and it's like... Like, there's been temptations in along the way where it's been, like, you know, very crucial. Like, I've almost drank a couple times in sobriety, you know. I'm an alcoholic. I've come to the understanding that my brain is going to try to do that to me. My head is going to try to kill me. It's going to try to tell me that I'm okay and I can drink like a gentleman today, you know. And but again, at the same hand, like, I feel completely blessed because I have not picked up a drink yet in my life every day. Continues to get a little bit better, like 5 years down the road, and today was better than yesterday, you know. And like, if I can do this for another like 30 years, like, I'll be like Jesus, you know, like like, for real, you know. That's my girl. But I'll wrap it up, you know. I'm way grateful for sobriety and for recovery and the people in it, you know. It's one thing to get sober yourself, and it's a whole nother thing to watch a fellowship grow up around you. You know, I got sober because of Alcoholics Anonymous, and now I get to watch the same promises happen in other people's lives, and I know it's a fact, and I know it works. You know, I've seen hundreds of people come in, and it works for them, and so I'm just grateful to be here. Thank you, guys. I love you all. Thank you.